Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Economic guru to the show, and also chief investment strategist. This is his backup job. His main job is our economic guru. But Brian Belsky is also chief investment strategist at BMO Capital Markets. And the Wilmer native is here. He's on, like all our guests, the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, Belsky. Hope you're great. We'll get to get your ball club later, but let's get to the news of the day. The news of the day is as expected, and it's no news. The Fed says we are not raising rates. We're not cutting rates. They had cut rates three times last year. The hope was that whether it was Joe Biden, Donald Trump, or Brian Belsky as president, that the rate cuts would continue. But with inflation and other matters still lingering, this was expected. Why was this the right decision, do you think? Or do you disagree with Jerome Powell and others? Do you want to tell me they made a mistake?
Wow. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Secondly, to put me in the same sentence as two presidents, man, I don't know how much more humbling that can be.
I'd take you over either one. Okay. I would take you 100 out of 100 times over either option.
Well, thank you so much. I think this is all about Jay Powell waiting to see what happens with the tariffs. I think that's pretty clear. I think he's been – what's interesting is that he was pretty decisive in terms of the language with respect to the announcement today on two things. Remember, the Fed has a dual mandate, inflation and employment. Now, the key thing is that employment actually has remained very firm in terms mm-hmm. of getting better. Yeah. Unemployment had dipped in 2020. As more people are kind of going back to work and all of that. Inflation, I don't like the talk about inflation going up. I mean, inflation still, especially relative to what we saw in 22 and 23, is down pretty substantially. That's 21 and 22, I'm sorry. That's number one. Number two, 2% is going to take a while to get back down to 2%. Everybody knew that. So again, that's the dual mandate. So they changed some language in the actual statement, but I think the bond market obviously reacted to that and became bearish. What does that mean? Bond prices went down, yields went up. But at the end of the day, I think his comments have really been more toned down. I think for all intents and purposes, I know that in the press and really since the last since President Trump got back into office, we talked about common sense. I think common sense needed to be applied here. He can't do anything until he sees what the actuality, not the rhetoric, but the actual tariffs. So he could not do anything today.
Okay, so let's say Kamala Harris or Joe Biden defeats Donald Trump. And then we don't have as much tariff talk. And I'll add what a lot of people have added before in the right. Joe Biden kept a number of those tariffs that Donald Trump offered up at different points in his first administration. Not all of them, but the idea that he ripped them all away, that's a falsehood. But let's get back to it. If Harris or Biden is the president right now, do we have a rate cut today because the threat of tariffs would not be there?
It's a great question that can't be answered. Here's why. Two things. Number one, the market, the stock market itself and the economy itself would be at much different levels. Why? Because remember, the stock market absolutely ripped after the Trump victory based on what happened with Tesla and Musk and Doge and all of the things, but also with respect to the very clear platform that President Trump talked about, deregulation, tariffs at some point, focusing on manufacturing, more energy clarity in terms of drill, baby drill, quote unquote. So we don't know, quite frankly, and to be fair, there was no economic package. There was no economic plan from Ms. Harris. She didn't really talk about what her plan was. So I think that's an unfair question, quite frankly, because we don't know where we would have been. Chances are that we wouldn't be talking about inflation, but chances are we could potentially be talking about unemployment going the other direction. So you don't know what the variables are that add up to that.
So let's talk China here, too. I want to get to more of the Fed rate. I think it's interesting, and again, Donald Trump has offered a lot of bluster, and then go back to tariffs in the first administration. They did happen. They didn't happen nearly as much as he suggested. But for a guy who's talked really tough about China, nothing's happened with China. Is that surprising anyway?
No, especially given the TikTok stuff. And remember, too, that there's bluster and then there's actualities. I think the other key thing that probably most of your listeners don't know about is this whole DeepSeek thing came out the day of the inauguration. It wasn't over the weekend. It just got kind of more press and kind of blew up over the weekend. And then with respect to this DeepSeek product from China, you know, I always like to remind people, you get what you pay for, right? You get what you pay for. And so this morning, actually this morning, Chad, on the institutional morning call that goes around the world at BMO, they had me talk and I said, listen, I said, for those of you Gen Zers and millennials, you might want to look this up on the internet machine, what I'm about to say. So DeepSeek is the AI, what Yugos were to cars in the 1970s and 80s. Okay, so the Communist Party in Russia and the Communist Party in the 70s said, we're going to compete with America. They have an energy crisis. We're going to compete with Japan, and we're going to make these cheap autos. Didn't really work out because why? Bad quality, bad engineering. Now, China's come out and said, we don't need to use as many chips. We have just as much power, and we don't. It's a nice product. There is some usefulness to it. However, the godfather, Jensen Huang, came out from NVIDIA and said, yeah, we're still going to be supplying chips there. However, that product is not what we're going for in terms of an AI community, quote unquote, drop the mic. And so I think the problem with the stock market, quite frankly, on Monday, and we've been pretty clear on this, is that so many people, Chad, in 23 and 24 were buying stocks because they were going up. That's never the right strategy. You should always be more fundamental. And I actually believe Monday's a very good thing that happened. I never like it when people lose money. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
However, I didn't feel really good. I got to be honest. When I was looking at my numbers, it didn't feel great to me.
This was a shot across the bow, right, to stop chasing stocks and start investing in stocks. And so I think this is hyper driving the return to normalization in terms of high single digit, low double digit returns and the stopping of these crazy gyrations of the market up 20%, down 20%.
This is Brian Belsky, Chief Investment Strategist for BMO Capital Markets. Trump's been busy today. I'm assuming at some point today or tomorrow he's going to threaten Powell again. Why didn't you cut rates? He's going to put pressure on him. He's not the only president who's put pressure on the Fed or the Fed chair. It's happened before. He just does it shockingly in an unrelenting way. That's Trump. Powell has said, hey, if Trump wants him to resign, too bad. I'm not going anywhere. How often do you see Powell responding in any manner to what Trump is going to say?
He says less in official statements, more in off-the-cuff statements. He's not going to, first of all, he's not going to give Trump any President Trump any credit. And from a historical perspective, it wasn't just President Trump. It was President Nixon went after the Fed chair in the 1970s really hard, and that was well documented. And then President Reagan went after Paul Volcker in 1984 after he got Paul Volcker to change rates onto the downside in 1982. So this has been going on for a while. It shouldn't be a surprise.
Let's talk your ball club. The Rays just signed somebody to a multi-year contract. The Twins have done, let's just be honest, nothing this offseason. Yeah. Nothing. They did very little. I get it. The sale is out there, and I get it. There are still some high-level prospects, Walker Jenkins, and one ranking the other day was third, another one was fourth, Emmanuel Rodriguez is there. But they need help. We don't know who's going to end up at second base. Nobody knows first base. They need another starter. They're doing nothing. And you're somebody who spent a lot of money on Twin Stickers over the years. You believe in the club, but this has to tick you off.
Oh, well, listen. It's what and how they treat season ticket holders too. And I've been a season ticket holder since 2001 straight through. And every year I get the email from my guy say, hey, you can buy tickets for spring training. I don't know if I'm going to be down here in Florida or not. I buy two tickets for every game just in case. And they're relatively cheap. And I really didn't want to do it this year. Why? We're not spending any money. Okay, we had whole major holes last year. You did a great job talking about who's going to be the second baseman. Who's going to be at third every day? We don't even know if this guy's going to be able to even walk. We've got major health problems.
How about Royce Lewis, the way he dropped off last year? Let's not forget that part of the equation.
Let's not. And then if Miranda's, is he going to be able to play, be like an everyday first baseman? We don't know that. And what's going to happen with Julian?
I'll give you the answer. No.
No, the answer is no. We don't have pitching. And so you see look at how Detroit came on last year. I mean, that's a real squad. Kansas City, a real squad. They spent money. So as a long-term season ticket holder, I get it, right? Two steps back. They're dressing this up for sale. I understand that, okay? But oh, by the way, let's invest a little bit. Like when you sell a house, let's get some new carpet and paint the walls or whatever. Let's do a little something to clean it up.
You're 100% right. And they're the Paulette family is going to leave in a way where they're going to face a ton of scorn when they've done a lot of things, like their investment at Target Field, their continued investment in Target Field. Jim Paulette ended up taking a lot of grief. Some deserved. I'm not going to take him off the hook, but some of it tied to his father. And now Joe Paulette's running that. I'm sure Jim's still very involved. But to leave in this manner, it's going to dominate how people think of him. And they've earned it. They did. It was the momentum. That's the whole thing. If you finally win a series after losing 18 straight, this isn't the time when you're worth billions, when your asset is going to be sold for an incredible upside, to say, this is when we're going to draw the line. It was the wrong time to do it, and they've just further reinforced it. And they're causing people like yourself, media types like me and others, just to be frustrated. And they're facing plenty of apathy right now. And that is the last thing you want.
Listen, I think, first off, don't be fooled. I will be there April 3rd, like I am every year. No, and I will be going to a bunch of spring training games. Why? Because of my affinity and love and dedication to the Minnesota Twins. However, if they knew they were going to sell the team, which they did because they didn't spend any money after the playoff win, sell it then, brother. Sell it then when the value of the team is actually higher coming off a playoff win. They should have done it then, period.
Excellent, Belsky. Talk to you soon, man.
Thank you, brother. Take care.
Brian Belsky, Chief Investment Strategist for BMO Capital.